Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Merry Christmas, everybody, as we swing into the rest of the holiday. Kate Delaney, hoping you and yours had a good one. Same for everybody who is on the tail end of celebrating Hanukkah and Kwanzaa and everything in between. We have a great show for you. Some of my favorite interviews coming up, including a conversation actually with George Newman about gifts and authenticity. Did you get gifts this season that were authentic gifts? And what does that mean? We'll talk about it. People craving something that's real or made or man-made, which that makes sense. And if you're talking about things that come from the heart versus other, you know, manufactured things, I guess. But anyway, we'll talk to him about that, about gifts. Also, Paul Jaffa, Zimbabwe in the 80s and 90s. He was there. Robert Mugabe. Remember that guy? What a creep. He would have been one of the hit list members of the list that I made of the evildoers period of all time. He's in my top 10. And then David Merriman Scott joins us, and he's got a book coming out called Fanocracy, Turning Fans into Customers and Customers into Fans. And he did some really deep dive research with his daughter on this book. And I agree with him because I talk about attracting raving fans when I'm out there speaking. It is about that. It's about that human connection. That's why we're seeing so many problems in politics. And how do politicians connect? How do they create fans? But the book is about customer service and again, how do companies grow and what is it that people want with their craving? And I think it's that connection and those fans, just like David does in his book, is brilliant. I cracked into that. They sent me one of the copies before it got out there, and his conversation is a valuable, valuable conversation, and that's coming up. And besides that, also, we will look at some of the more intriguing things that are happening, sad things, actually, some of them, that are happening at the tail end of the year as we get ready to swing into a new decade in 2020. How about this? You think YouTube isn't big? How about an 8-year-old topping the YouTube list of the highest earners with $26 million? An 8-year-old boy reviews toys on YouTube. I'm serious. And his name is Ryan Kaji, and he's got 22.9 million subscribers. He earned $26 million in 2019. That's up $4 million from what he earned in 2018, when he also gained the highest earning YouTuber spot. So Forbes estimates that the 10 highest earners on YouTube, which is owned by Google, of course, brought in a total of $162 million between June of 2018 and June of 2019. That is crazy. It's just an idea. It's just something that happened. And there's others as well that would make the list. So I'll give you one other one. There's one called Dude Perfect, and it's a group of five friends in their 30s who play sports and perform stunts. They came in second. They got $20 million. Wow. I mean, you just have to go and look at this and say to yourself, it's different. I'm all about capitalism now, right? It's different times. And this to me is just a tragic story. A UPS driver, they're saying he was allegedly worked to death. He delivered 240 packages a day during a pretty grueling 12-hour shifts. So Paul Crush's name is 42, or was a dad of two. He died after a suspected heart attack in Essex, so this is overseas, on Wednesday of the week before Christmas. And the story is starting to circulate that this phenomenon that people are talking about, that we see sometimes in Japan, of people working themselves to death, they're saying that's really what happened here. That, well, somebody said they saw him having coffee and he looked just completely exhausted, and he was trying to make money, so he was working double shifts, and he and that's it. That's what happened. And I believe in it. I believe there's a thing of working yourself to death. And if you're doing those 12, if he was doing 12-hour shifts and he was doing back-to-back shifts and trying to deliver everything he could, well, you can only imagine what that would look like and how exhausted you would be, because when is he sleeping? And if he's sleeping, what kind of sleep is he getting? You know, Arianna Huffington wrote a book about sleep and the whole, what happens, the whole process of not getting sleep, and how she would go to meetings and people would brag about having 3 and 4 hours sleep. And there is something to that. And she wrote the book because she was hadn't had a lot of sleep and fell and shattered her cheek. But I know some of you listening, and I fall into the category too. I get it. You have families to feed. You're ambitious. You're trying to make it. Ends meet or whatever it is, and you work those extra hours because the phenomenon of the side hustle came about because of that. And a lot of people have side hustles. And we know that. So just try to get that rest in between. I guess that's the good warning here, is when you hear a story like that, it's just a reminder that you want to get as much rest as you can in between whatever it is that you're doing. Another quick sad story, because it certainly is making headlines, and here it is Christmas, but I'm going to talk about the story for a second. C.J. Beathard was flying home over the weekend to be with his family because police are looking for a man for questioning in the stabbing that killed Clayton Beathard and another man. So Clayton Beathard was the younger brother of the San Francisco 49ers player. And of course, the team releases a statement. Everybody says they're horrified by this and sad. And this happened in Nashville outside of a bar. And who knows why, but he was just 22 and he was killed during a fight. And again, a handful of days before Christmas for something to happen where it looks like they had some kind of an argument and then it got physical. And you know what? And who knows, alcohol fueled, whatever that might be. You know what you're thinking when you hear those stories, but how awful, how sad to deal with that. And there's nothing you can do. I mean, this is what I say all the time with when it comes to human life. And I know you a lot of you think that, because we talk about what happened with the jihadists and how could people just want to take life so lightly like that. And this is different. This is a horrible fight, but to fight over whatever they're fighting over and to end in the death of somebody is tragic right before the holidays. Speaking of right before the holidays, no government shutdown. So Washington did agree. The White House signed off on it. The president signed it, and there is funding for the government. So there's not the same situation we had before last year where you had a government shutdown. There wasn't a government shutdown this time around. However, the long-awaited ruling from a U.S. appeals court on the fate of the Affordable Care Act, it's interesting. Nothing happened there. That wait is going to be longer. There's more uncertainty. The New Orleans-based court ruled unconstitutional the individual insurance mandate, which the federal government was no longer enforcing, but didn't resolve the most pressing thing. Is the rest of the law unconstitutional? So a 2-1 vote of the appeals panel returned the case to the U.S. district court judge for the start of another round of rulings. So right there, it's stuck. And the new ruling means the Supreme Court basically dodges the Obamacare showdown, but that legal fight is going to continue. So that's not even over. Even though some people thought, well, okay, that's all over with the individual mandate, they're still dealing with the fallout of that. So Chief Justice John Roberts and the 8 colleagues, their decision all but guarantees they're going to face another dilemma in the upcoming election year, and it's going to be over a lot of things, including that. All right, hang with us.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
How would you like to hit the range tomorrow with a brand new gun? Because the United States Concealed Carry Association wants to give you a free gun right now. That's right, completely free. The USCCA is here to give every responsibly armed American the education, training, legal, and financial protection they need. And today, they're giving you not one, but four free chances to win $1,000. Simply text GCN to 87222 to get entered now, and you'll get four free chances to win $1,000 for any gun you want. Text GCN to 87222 and get entered today. But remember, these free guns won't be around forever, and you can't win if you don't enter. So don't miss out. Just text GCN to 87222 and get your four free chances to win now. That's GCN to 87222.
Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's DrinkSuperTea.com, 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Get gifts, right? Maybe some of you have already crossed some items off that list, but this is so timely because I think about this all the time. A new holiday study is revealing to us what gifts mean the most. And I keep hearing this word when I'm out there speaking and, of course, doing the radio show about authentic, authentic, authentic. And that seems to come up in this study. So who better to go to than a Yalie, Dr. George Newman, Associate Professor of Marketing and Management at the Yale School of Management. Hey, Dr. Newman, how are you?
Doing well. Thanks for having me.
So let's talk about this and the idea of what people want present-wise when you're shopping. And I didn't really go into the study, but the study is showing that we want authentic gifts that bring us, that seem to bring us the most joy, and they seem to be the most valued. So it's, what is the legitimacy of a gift? So tell us about that research.
Sure, yeah. So I've been interested in authenticity for a while. I teach it in my courses at Yale, and as a researcher, I've been looking at authenticity for about the past 10 years or so, just trying to figure out what authenticity means to people and how it impacts their decision-making and purchases. In this research, what I really wanted to understand is how authenticity is related to gift giving. So, for example, do people care about authenticity even when they're not spending their own money? And what I found was that when it comes to receiving gifts, authenticity really matters to people. So consumers appreciate authentic things more. They feel more gratitude when they get authentic things. And they're disappointed by inauthentic things even when other people can't tell that they're fake or knockoff.
Yeah, and you in this study, so we know, you're talking about groups that were from 18 to 80. So that's a big group to do this research on. And specifically, when you look at these authentic items, what did you find? There was like 8 categories that you studied, right?
Yeah, so this was a nationally representative sample, so we had basically all across the country, and as you said, 18 to 80, so all different age ranges, and we asked about a lot of gifts that are popular for this holiday season, so tech products, apparel, accessories, and also jewelry and other kinds of luxury items.
Yeah, so that's interesting. That's what I was going to ask you. That's my next question. And we're speaking to Dr. George Newman, Associate Professor of Marketing and Management at the Yale School of Management. What were the gifts that you really found that people wanted the most across the board? And what were the most disappointing? Because that's big on the list, too.
Sure. So some of the things that we found were the most appreciated were authentic name brand products. So like a North Face jacket or an Apple Watch. So people really said they wanted the authentic thing much more so than a knockoff or replica. But what was really interesting to us is that people wanted authenticity even for things that didn't have a brand name. So, you know, there are lab-grown diamonds that mimic the look of natural diamonds. So kind of they appear to be very similar, but the consumers said they would be 50% more likely to be disappointed if they got a lab-grown diamond than if they got a natural real one.
Wow, that's interesting, yeah. When we talk about, as you mentioned, you just talk North Face jacket, Apple Watch. I have an Apple Watch, and that mattered, so it makes sense. I didn't want the knockoff. The natural diamond ring, that obviously is a very big thing, too. What do people value, the cost of the gift or the authenticity more? Because we used to think if you gave something bigger, it costs more. That got people excited. Is that not true?
So what we're finding in this research is that people really seem to value authenticity and sometimes authenticity more than how the gift, how much the gift costs. So, for example, we asked people if they would prefer to receive something inauthentic, like a synthetic cashmere sweater, versus something that was authentic that cost the same amount, like a wool sweater that was less expensive. And what we found was that people would prefer to receive something real, even if it was cheaper. So, you know, from the perspective of the person receiving the gift, the study suggested that people are more concerned about the authenticity of the gift than how much the gift actually cost.
Wow, so interesting. And you do lots of research like this. Were you surprised by the findings?
Well, I think there was a lot here that was very interesting just in terms of how much authenticity matters to people, that it seems to matter for all different age segments. So you know, hear a lot about authenticity as a trendy topic, but we find that, you know, across all of our different age groups, lots of different regions of the country, authenticity was really important to people.
All right, I love it. Dr. George Newman, thank you so much. Have a great, authentic holiday.
Great. Yeah, you too. Thanks very much.
Bye-bye. All right, so speaking of the Christmas holiday, the queen of Christmas has to be Mariah Carey. Have you heard this song by any chance?
Oh, Yes, it's definitely grown on me.
It's grown on me, too, because I've heard it so bloody much. Well, here's the news, Nathan. So, Mariah Carey, first of all, makes millions because the other, Paul, tells me every single time he hears it how much money she's making. But good for her. And it's finally landed on the number one spot on the Hot 100. So after all these years, because it came out in 1994, super popular, but it's the first time it's been number one. It was number three at one point, but that's incredible. A song from 94, number one on the charts. She was 24 when she recorded it.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
I mean, it's... The melody, the holiday kitsch, I mean, it's pop that is lasting easily through our modern age. You know, they use all of those same techniques in modern country even, so...
Incredible. And yeah, I found out it, officially she's earned more than $60 million in royalties off the song.
Great job.
Yeah, that's I'm all about the artists. Listen, I'm all about artists making what they can make. It's fine. That's the deal. Why not, right? If we live in a capitalistic society, you can't deny some people, oh, why do they make that? Well, it's entertainment, and Nathan just said it. It's kitschy, it's catchy, and if that's the deal. I mean, Mariah Carey, whose, by the way, mother was an opera singer, now has 19 career number one hits on the Hot 100. That's the second most of all time after the Beatles. Wow. That is a big wow. And it's funny, Amazon, it's so big, Amazon is going to cash in itself. Amazon is debuting a mini documentary about the history of the song called Mariah Carey Is Christmas. I hear her in the background. She's dying to jump in. Thanks for listening to this hour of the show, everyone. Make it count.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Wishing you the brightest of Christmas seasons and best wishes for the new year from the Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Alaska Republican Senator Lisa Murkowski said she was disturbed to hear Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell say there would be total coordination between the White House and Senate over the upcoming presidential impeachment trial. She told KTUU-TV in Anchorage,
I heard what Leader McConnell had said. I happen to think that that has further confused the process.
Murkowski added that there should be distance between the White House and Senate over how the trial is conducted. President Trump and First Lady Melania thanked U.S. troops during their Christmas message.
We give thanks for the millions of Americans who come together to care for others with compassion and bring the warmth and bliss of this holy season to our families, our friends, our neighbors.
This is USA Radio News.
Does your business spend $500 a month or more on gas and electric bills? Did you know by making a simple free phone call, you can save up to 25% on your bill every month? What could you do with a 25% savings on utility bills every month? Energy deregulation is now available in your state. Making one simple phone call will show you how we can lower your gas and electric bills instantly, with no changes to your bill and no enrollment fee. This is a free service. The only thing you'll notice is a lower bill every month. Call U.S. Power and Light right now. Learn how easy it is to lower your utility bills for your business and save money. We promise. So if you spend over $500 a month on your gas and electric bills, please call right now and unleash your savings.
800-941-3381. 800-941-3381. 800-941-3381. That's 800-941-3381.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make it they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
Tell you how excited, seriously, I am to welcome this man to the show, to Author's Corner this time around. He's written a book called Reminiscences of a Gold Smuggler. His name is Paul Jaffa, and I was so intrigued by his story. Got the book, read it, and I'm being serious. I could not put it down for many, many reasons. I don't want to eat up too much time. Without further ado, let's introduce Paul, who joins us from afar. Hey, Paul, thanks for coming on the show.
Hi, Kate. Thank you for having me.
You know, it's interesting. We're here, and it's interesting. You we're going to take people back to Zimbabwe and think of Zimbabwe and what it was like in the 80s and in the 90s. And what was Zimbabwe like at the time? And you at one point owned a very popular men's store.
Well, yes. Zimbabwe was formerly Rhodesia. And in 1980, when Mugabe and his liberation forces wrestled the country from Ian Smith, it looked as if, on the outset, it seemed as if there was going to be a great future with this new dispensation. And Mugabe came across as a very eloquent and intelligent man, and he talked about there would no longer be black Zimbabweans and white Zimbabweans and colored Zimbabweans. We'd all be one people, one Zimbabwean. And it sounded very, very promising. But that was very short-lived, unfortunately.
Yeah, and then that happens. And, of course, the country is triggered into chaos, essentially. And you talked about briefly serving in the military. Just tell us what that was like.
Well, the military, I spent, I all the young people, particularly white young men, had to join their military and do what's known as national service. I did national service many years ago. This was in the 1960s, late 60s. And I was seconded to an officer course, officer training course in Gwelo in Zimbabwe, or in what was then Rhodesia. And fortunately for me, I wasn't involved in any actual direct combat. So I spent spent a certain amount of time on the borders in Kariba area, but there was one did patrols, one went out in little groups of sections of 10 men at a time, and what they call counterinsurgency operations. But I didn't actually have an encounter with terrorists, so it was all freedom fighters. So in that way, I was quite fortunate.
Boy, no kidding. And you certainly know the politics of the country. And talking about politics, I said the title, How Do You Become a Gold Smuggler? Tell us that story.
Well, at the time, when Mugabe came into power, there was a limits and restriction on the use of the issuing of foreign exchange and access to foreign exchange. At that time, we were allowed $500 a year travel allowance, so that's not exactly a king's ransom. And the running of the country started to become very, very difficult due to the controlled access to foreign exchange and the limited access of it. So if, in my case, I developed a small gold mine, and to replace machinery and parts on a continuous basis became nearly impossible. And if you can imagine, you've got a gold mine and you want to run this thing at least 8-10 hours a day. If you suddenly have a breakdown and you can't get the spare parts to keep this thing going, you've got a labor force of 40 or 50 men that are going to be standing around twiddling their thumbs because you can't get a bearing that would cost about $10 or $20. And you've got to wait for 2 or 3 months before you can get that the $2 or $3 to buy that bearing. So it became an impossible situation that in order to carry on running the little gold mine, I had to find a way around the system so that I could access foreign exchange, buy the goods that I needed or the parts that I needed to keep my show on the road, and even though it was illegal to do it. And that is how that was the beginning of why I became a gold smuggler. Being a producer of gold, I was compelled to sell that gold to the national exchequer for local Zimbabwe dollars, which outside of Zimbabwe were worth nothing. You couldn't spend that money. It was only you had to access foreign exchange.
Yeah, wow. And again, I want to tell everybody, we're speaking with Paul Jaffa. The name of the book is Reminiscences of a Gold Smuggler. You can get it on Amazon.com, really, for a song, and you want to hear this whole story. And you ran into a little bit of trouble with the authorities. We don't want to tell the whole story, but tell us about the 38 kilos of your smuggled gold.
Right. Later on, this is sort of now, initially I started doing the smuggling myself and went across the border via Botswana, through Botswana, took a small plane from Francistown to Botswana to Gaborone's. From Gaborone's, picked up the flights from Gaborone's to Johannesburg, and there, from there, I would then go on to Switzerland. Eventually, I got to the point where I was able to employ couriers to do it for me. And in one particular instance, the couriers were carrying 38 kilograms of gold. They were in transit in Jan Smuts Airport in Johannesburg en route to Switzerland. They had not cleared customs, and the gold was confiscated from them. And it was suspected that the gold was South African gold, so eventually the authorities, discovering that it wasn't South African gold, they would then hold the gold on the pretext that it had not been declared to customs. Well, when you're in transit, there's no need to declare something. Anyway, they hung on to it, and in the initial legal tussle that I had to win it back, I lost the case, and eventually I managed to get into situation where I had to go to the appeals court in Bloemfontein and challenge the authorities there to hand my gold back to me because it was in transit and it had not, the intention was not to bring it into South Africa. Hence, that was why it was not declared. Anyway, it was a complicated case involving that, but eventually I prevailed and the South African authorities had to put the gold on an airplane, pay all expenses, including my airfare, back to Switzerland, where the gold was originally intended to go to.
And you're right, there is more to this story, and it is very, very intriguing. And in your travels, because you traveled all over the place, one thing that you talk about, if that's not intriguing enough, and the whole smuggling thing, you talk about some of your brushes with fame, and there's a movie, and I love this movie, it's called King Solomon's Mines. It came out in the mid-80s, and you talk about spending a little bit of time with Sharon Stone and Richard Chamberlain. Well, there's men, Paul, that would cut off the right arm to spend time still with Sharon Stone. What was that like, and how did that encounter happen?
Well, at that particular weekend where I met Sharon Stone and Richard Chamberlain, they were having a roulette championship of Zimbabwe. So I was a little bit of a, you could say, a bit of a gambler, and spent quite a bit of time at the Victoria Falls at their casino that they had there. And Sharon Stone and Richard Chamberlain were making this movie, King Solomon's Mines. I went up there to play roulette. I was invited by the casino to compete in the championship. Towards the last day of this sort of, it was a long, over a holiday weekend, so it was over about 3 or 4 days. Towards the end of the contest, I was the favorite, in fact, to win this championship. Anyway, I got pipped at the post, and I came second. But I'd made a victory speech, and I decided that the fact that I come second wasn't going to stop me from making the victory speech in front of Sharon Stone and Richard Chamberlain, because they had been invited. they had been invited to sort of officiate and hand out prizes and whatever else. And bear in mind that Sharon Stone at that particular time was, this is 1985, she was about 26, 27 years of age, and she was a far cry from this glamorous woman that she eventually became.
Right.
Richard Chamberlain had a boyfriend with him. I didn't know he was gay at the time, but he had his boyfriend along with him. And I got chatting to Sharon Stone sort of after this competition, and she was a little bit at a loose end because Richard was sort of busy with his boyfriend and she didn't know anybody there. So I managed to spend a little bit of time with Sharon Stone, which was interesting in a way, because only later on when she emerged and became this fantastic superstar. At the time, she was a 27-year-old, and I think this was probably one of her earlier movies. So she was hardly known at that time. But I spent a bit of time with her, and it was quite something when some years later, when I saw her on the screen again, and she had blossomed into this sort of international beauty, I was quite gobsmacked, and I suddenly thought to myself, maybe I should have spent a little bit longer in Sharon Stone's company.
Well, this is a perfect place to end this, because there's so much to the story and it's so fascinating. And it's called Reminiscences of a Gold Smuggler. Paul Jaffa, you are a delight. You say, and even if you go to Amazon and you read it, it's true. It reads like a crime thriller, but it's a true story. And we just heard little snippets of it. And I think everybody's probably intrigued and running to get this. So, Paul, thank you so much.
Thanks. Thanks, Kate. It was lovely talking to you.
You too. Shot at in Mexico, 100 drinks at a well-worn bar with some shady-looking characters in Vegas, riding a bike from Dallas to Seattle on a bet, scribbling the words dungeon on a napkin while two passengers next to you on a plane wonder, what the heck does that mean? I'm Kate Delaney, and what does this have to do with my success, and why do you care? It's part of my journey that I want to share with you in my new book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Luckily now I can laugh at some of what seemed like utter disasters at the time. Can any of you relate? That's exactly what you'll discover by reading my book. I picture you on a boat, beach, or relaxing in the backyard, laughing out loud until you rupture your spleen, well, hopefully not, while pulling out some seriously rare and secret stuff. Doesn't matter what you do or where you are right now, anyone in any walk of life can use what I learned in my years of crisscrossing around the United States pursuing my dreams. So what do you want to get out of life? Happiness? Contentment? Why are you here? Pick up my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, at Amazon.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at HBExtract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. HBExtract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
I'm here with Scott Youseum, founder of OMG Tax. Tell us how your company helps our listeners out there who have a problem with the IRS.
My team of lawyers, enrolled agents, and licensed tax experts remove wage garnishments sometimes in the same day. We even have reduced the total debt some of our clients were required to pay through what is known as an offer in compromise.
Can you give us an example of somebody you help?
Oh, can I ever? We have taken a $500,000 liability with the IRS. Guess what? The client didn't pay a dime through the representation known as non-collectible status with the government.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000 and you want to see if it's possible to pay a lot less, call OMG Tax right now for a free tax-saving consultation.
Call 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. That's 800-486-8112.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live-underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Quite possibly, this is my favorite thing to talk about. And in our virtual green room, we have David Merriman Scott. He's got a new book coming out called Fanocracy, Turning Fans into Customers and Customers into Fans. It's going to release less than a month from now. In fact, January 7th, it's from the portfolio division, they say, of Penguin Random House. I cannot wait. David, thanks so much for hanging with us.
Of course, Kate. Awesome to be here.
So your book is about fandom culture and how businesses, any business, frankly, can grow by cultivating fans. Tell us about that.
Absolutely. So I co-wrote this with my daughter. She's 26. And we were thinking about what it is that we're fans of. And I'm a massive live music fan, especially the Grateful Dead. And she's a massive Harry Potter fan. She even wrote a 90,000-word alternative ending to the Harry Potter series where Draco Malfoy is a spy for the Order of the Phoenix. And so we dug into this idea of, can businesses grow fans the same way entertainers can? And it turns out the answer is yes. And we identified a number of different prescriptions for doing that and found examples of all kinds, nonprofits and B2B companies and software companies and consumer products. And in fact, one of my favorite examples is an auto insurance company that has a massive fan base. It's called Hagerty Insurance, and they recognize that they can't sell the way people normally sell because everyone hates to buy auto insurance, so just selling on price isn't going to work. And they do classic car insurance, so they go to classic car shows around the world. They have a driver's club with 650,000 members and a YouTube channel with a million followers. I mean, an auto insurance company with a million followers. And they're crushing with the fandom. They're going to grow by 200,000 new customers this year.
And isn't there something to that connection, connecting to a base, connecting on a deeper level, in a sense, human, being human instead of talking marketing language? Is that what part of what you tapped into?
Exactly, because we looked really deeply at why and how people become fans. We even spoke to some neuroscientists about what's going on in the brain when you become a fan of something. And the bottom line, to boil down 5 years of research and the entire book into a sentence, is basically it's about a true human connection. And when I'm at a Grateful Dead concert with my friends, and I've been to 75 Grateful Dead concerts, it's about being with my friends. It's about being a part of a tribe. It's about knowing the lingo. It's about that genuine human connection. And the same thing is true when a company or an individual or a nonprofit or an educational institution or even a government agency does the same thing. They have a human connection. They grow fans.
How fun was this doing the book with your daughter?
Oh, my gosh. It was amazing. In fact, she's just about to come here to my house, and I got a stack of books yesterday, and so I can't wait to show her the book for the first time that we've been working on for 5 years. It's been great because clearly she's a different generation. She's my daughter, clearly a different gender. My wife is Japanese, so Reiko is mixed race, and she's a neuroscientist. She did a neuroscience degree at Columbia, and she's now in her final year of medical school. So we come at it, number one, from a really different perspective of who we are, you know, a young millennial woman versus a middle-aged white man, and also the different things that we're a fan of. But we recognize that we had the same idea of fandom, and you know, it made us get closer. I'm just so thrilled that we've been able to share this experience for the last 5 years. We found that we learned a lot about each other. We had to learn how to trust one another, and we also had to both recognize, for this to work, that we could only do it if we were equals. It couldn't be that I'm the dad, she's the daughter. It had to be that we were co-equal writing partners. And we managed to figure that out. And it made us our relationship much, much stronger by being able to do that.
Love that story. And we're speaking with David Merriman Scott. The name of the book is Fanocracy, Turning Fans into Customers and Customers into Fans. And you talk about fandom culture and how businesses can grow by cultivating those fans. All right, you got to give us a little bit of a sneak peek. So for all the people listening to this show, what can they do? And many of them are entrepreneurs, and some of them own huge corporations. What can they do to cultivate these fans?
One of my favorite things to do, which anyone can start doing right now, comes from what we learned from speaking with some neuroscientists, and it's around the idea of proximity. The closer you get to someone, the more powerful the shared emotions. And this is hardwired into our brains, our ancient DNA, because it's important for our survival. The people that we're close to, that we trust, very positive, powerful relationships. People who we maybe don't know well, there's some negative emotions going on there. That's why when you get into a crowded elevator, you feel a little nervous. It's because your fight or flight mechanism is kicking in. One neuroscientist named Edward T. Hall identified that there's four levels of proximity, the furthest being public space, further than 20 feet, or then social space, 4 to 20 feet. Inside of 4 feet is personal space. The more you can bring people into your personal space, the more powerful the shared emotions are. So, can you have lunch with customers? Can you have a customer meeting? But then some people say to me, but David, I can't do that. I have customers all over the world, or we're a virtual company. There's another form of neuroscience called mirror neurons, which is the part of our brain that fires when we see or hear somebody do something as if we're doing it ourselves. I'll demonstrate it for you, Kate. So imagine I am now biting into a lemon, which I actually am. And the lemon is really tart, and it makes my eyes scrunch up, my mouth puckers up, my saliva starts to do its thing, and my brain is firing like mad. But perhaps just by hearing me say that, your brain might be firing as well, and you might even be tasting a little bit of lemon on your tongue. That's the concept of mirror neurons. So where any of us can use this technique right now, anyone listening in, is you can use photographs and video and crop it as if you're within 4 feet of someone or personal space. That's cocktail party distance, as if you're talking with someone at a cocktail party. Use photographs of you and your employees. Use photographs of your customers. Have them look directly at the camera. Have it be cropped such that it's cocktail party distance. And our brains will, using the power of mirror neurons, tell us that we're actually in close proximity with you. And that's really powerful for building fans. It's exactly why people become fans of movie stars and TV stars. It's because our brains, when we see them on the screen, tell us we know them personally, but we don't. And then we become fans of them. So to build fans of your business, it can be as simply as just putting more photos and videos on your website and in your social media feeds.
No, I love that, especially, I'm tasting that lemon, by the way, especially when you say cocktail distance, because that makes a big difference when you're talking about video and photos. That's a very, very good tip. What was your biggest, obviously working with your daughter was huge, but what was your biggest takeaway from this book?
What was really interesting to me, fascinating, is when we went into this 5 years ago, we knew that there were some companies that had fans. You know, Apple comes to mind and Patagonia comes to mind. Those are already out there. We wanted to go much deeper. And our thesis was that any organization can build fans, but we didn't know that for sure. So when we started, we spoke with thousands of people about what they are a fan of, and then we spoke with hundreds of companies, CEOs typically, but other times marketing people within the companies, to find out how they've been able to build fans. And in fact, we found examples in all different industries all over the world, different sized organizations, nonprofits, government agencies. And in fact, there's a government agency that has 50 million fans all over the world. You see people wearing T-shirts with this government agency's logo on it. You see people with bumper stickers with a logo on it, and it's NASA. And so we were amazed to learn that these ideas of fanocracy, of growing fans for a business, apply to anybody, a single person business, a doctor or dentist, all the way up to a government agency or an enterprise software company.
Wow. Love it. Love it. Love it. Put this on your list, Fanocracy, Turning Fans into Customers and Customers into Fans. Remember, it comes out January 7th. David, thank you so much and good luck with the book.
Kate, I really appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com, 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.